Radio.
Welcome to Africa on the Move. As your host, Brother Africa, we'd like to greet everyone this evening and hope that you have had a peace and pleasant day. Today, we'd like for you to direct your energies and your focus towards this issue of protecting our children. That's right. I'm saying protecting our children. As you know, when you read in the paper, look at the news today, you'll find all kind of terrible things happening to our youth, from child molestation to being hijacked and taken to other countries to be sold as sex slaves. They are being railroaded down a pipeline by being accused of innocently doing things that they did not do. Like recently, they filed charges or incriminated two judges out of Pennsylvania for illegally accusing young people of committing crimes solely for the purpose where they could incarcerate these young folks into their private prisons and where they can make thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off them. Yes, I'd like to hear your feedback today on how we can protect our children. And more importantly, I'd like to address this question to my audience. And the question is, can we adopt a policy where we say we are all for one and one for all as a family? If we can do that, then I would think that every child that comes out of our village will be safely protected. And to talk about this whole theme is, we have Ms. Katie Fulton. She's going to talk about her recent and present experience of dealing with this whole question of trying to protect our youth, and more particularly, trying to protect her biological child. There's a case that's been going on that some people are beginning to find more and more about it, but a lot of people aren't. And we want to make sure this is a critical case as a classic example of what we need to know of things that's going on in terms of how they are incriminating our youth. So right now, we'd like to bring our guest in today, Ms. Fulton. I want you to just give people a preliminary background on the nature of the case of your son, Michael Fulton. And we'll start from there. Talk to your audience, Ms. Fulton. What is the Michael Fulton case is all about?
Michael is the son of a retired military family. He grew up in Colorado, graduated from high school with honors, was recruited from high school into the University of Colorado on the Boulder campus. He lived in the dormitory on the Boulder campus and was successful in completing his education there. Today, Michael is a young black male who is fighting for his life and his freedom and his reputation because on April 4th, 2013, law enforcement officials out of Douglas County came into our home with a passkey, with guns drawn in my face. They were looking for Michael. Michael was not home. They confiscated all of our computers, cell phones, cash, card, cameras, anything that had technology-related issues, they confiscated and took with them. They insisted on looking for Michael, although I told them Michael was not here. They confiscated his computers, although we have never lived in Douglas County. Douglas County is 99.9% white. And we told them we have never lived there, we have never worked there, and we were not sure why they were coming into our home with a passkey. We were not sure what they were looking for. There was about 8 plainclothes police officers who searched our home, closets, cabinets, under the bed, and everything that seemed to be in private boxes, they unsealed. I was asked to step out of my home in my nightgown. I did, follow their directions. At this time, Michael is struggling for his life, and I am appealing to the public. I appreciate those who have become familiar with his experience. I appreciate all the prayers and support to date. I appreciate the hope that you have given us. Michael has never had a problem with law enforcement, but today he is fighting for his defense. And these charges are very malicious, very mean-spirited, because the felony charges which they are bringing against Michael carry years in prison. But we are trying very hard to defend him and let the public know and let the court know that this young man is innocent. We are living in a digital era, and we are trying very hard to understand how they can use these computers to say that they are bringing these charges against Michael based on technological computations and digital information. Michael has not physically touched anyone, nor has he used any his computers to exploit or engage with any child. Michael and I are both certified educators. These allegations are based solely on computer computations. Therefore, we have set up a fund called Save Our Sons Defense Fund, INC. This is a tax-exempt organization. We have engaged an attorney who is asking for support, and he does need to have financial support to defend himself against these charges. We're asking the public to please, if you can share, go to any Wells Fargo bank and make a donation in the account of 8482-527028. This is the fund known as Save Our Sons Defense Fund, INC. This tax-exempt organization will be used to help Michael with his legal funds and building his defense. You can also send a donation to Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151. You can call me, his mom, at 720-499-5146. You can also send us an email, saveoursons2013@gmail.com. Again, saveoursons2013@gmail.com. We will be glad to share more of the details pertaining to this young man. He does not deserve the issues that are before him in Colorado. He's being stressed out. He's being set up. He's being harassed and being portrayed as something that he's totally not. Although these charges are not related to substance abuse, he has been asked to do random UAs, and he's done them all successfully because he's never shown an issue with substance abuse. He's never shown an interest in abusing any substance of any kind. But this is another way in which he has to pay. And they're trying very hard to put the financial strain on Michael so that he breaks. So we had to invest in a new phone and, of course, paying for the UAs, paying for the attorney, repairing a car that's 20-plus years old, also the bail bondsman, not to mention the ankle bracelet, GPS, and also the ongoing court costs. So I ask the public to please
Let me stop you for a second. All those things you just mentioned, those are things that they are making you pay for, even though he has not been convicted of any kind of crime. We understand he has a perfect record. Matter of fact, he was a student. He just received his degree in school. He was taking the test to become a math teacher. Now, one thing you might want to let our audience know, and I must share with my audience, that I have my bias as it relates to this particular case because I, too, is an advocate for this case. It's my understanding that this question of finding something on a computer could have been done by many people. Can you talk to speak a little bit about those possibilities of that particular case and the terrorism that y'all are living on a daily basis? Most of our people have no idea what both of y'all are going through. And you need to share that with our audience. And after that, we'll open up our phone line to our audience. Go ahead, Ms. Kater. Share your questions about the computer, access to the computer, and really talk about the real social conditions of the terrorism that you and your son is going through right now.
Yes. Michael was not home when they came into our home, and I told them he was not here, but they insisted on looking and searching and spending several hours confiscating. But when they came to understand that Michael was not here, they were somewhat upset. And, of course, they still believe that Michael can be set up or abused or jerked around at their discretion because this is a young man who's not had any problems with the law. So, yes, Michael, I do feel that Michael is a target. He has been targeted for whatever reason, and they feel as if it's important for them to destroy him through this manner. If they can use his computer against him to do that, that's what they intend to do. And we are trying very hard to share our story with the public so that they understand, come to comprehend, that his computer is being used against him, because he is very, very patient, and he's a very decent person who has never hurt anyone. And yes, he did pass his place exam, and he's ready to teach, and at this point he cannot have access to the children. He cannot be in a classroom to carry out the skills which he's been trained to do. And I think that the law enforcement officials appears to be trying to encourage the neighbors and community to look at us as if we are a pedophile, or that we are an abuser, or that we are some kind of enemy of the state. We're none of that. We're just a family that's trying to live a decent life. We are a law-abiding citizen, and this is the country that we grew up in. We love America like everyone else does. And other people did have access to our resident, because it was disclosed that the maintenance man who lived on property for 8-plus years, Rigoberto Escamil, he made an unannounced impromptu move off of the property days before they came into my home with a passkey. It appears as though Rigoberto moved his entire family off of the property, wife, children, pets, plant, furniture, everything gone. I had no idea what was going on, but I came to understand that other individuals had access to the computers in my home, so they were coming in and out of my apartment when we were not here. So therefore, anyone could have done anything at any time. We were totally unaware of why Douglas County came into our home. We do not live in Douglas County. We live in Arapahoe. But Douglas County felt as though they had the need to come in and seize all of our computers, cameras, cash, cards, cell phones, and they did that. So now we are in Douglas County Court fighting for Michael's freedom, fighting for his reputation, and literally fighting for his life.
And fighting for yours as well. We'll talk about that a little bit
yes.
later. But right now we
yes.
have callers on the line. We allow our callers to ask any questions they may have concerning Michael Fulton's case, or any comment they would make as relates to this whole issue. How can we best protect our kids, you know? So we can start with our callers. We can call out the last four numbers of your phone line. When I call out the last four numbers, you may make your question or comment. We can start with caller 2872. Caller 2872. Welcome to Africa on your Move. Your question or comment, caller? Caller 2872.
This is Brother Maurice Muhammad, and I'm listening in on the call and taking notes. I talked to the sister Katie yesterday. So I'm just listening and taking some notes, dear brother.
Okay, good. I'm going to put you back on hold because there are other stuff we're going to want to talk about in terms of his case so we can learn from his case so other people will not be victim of it, particularly our youth, because there's so much to be said, but we want to get our audience in. Let's try to take the audience. Let's take the caller 4039. Caller 4039. Your question or comment, please, caller. 4039, you have a question or comment, please?
Oh, yes, I'm just listening.
Okay, just listening. Okay, thank you. All right, let's go to Carlo, 8547. 8547, your question or comment, please? Carlo, 8457. Welcome to Africa on the Move. Carlo, your question or comment, please? Okay, I think the caller just want to listen, and so we can take our next caller. We're going to 6057. Caller 6057, your question or comment, please. How can we best protect our kids?
Revolutionary greetings, Africans. Thank you for having me on the program, and thank you for getting the word out about this case. I think a couple of important things that we have to consider. One, in terms of protecting our youth, one, we have to do a better try to protect people from having unrestricted access, you know, to things like phones and computers, especially. In the short term and in the longer term, it is critical that we teach our youth our history, because there's been a history of, you know, Africans being convicted or railroaded on trumped-up charges for various sets of reasons, and also of being, beaten or killed based on, trumped-up charges. And, so I think it's critical that we do a better job of passing on the lessons of our past and current struggles on to our youth.
Okay, Carl, we'd like to thank you. We'll put you on hold. Okay, Katie, one of the things I think will be of interest to our audience is that if you talk just a little bit about two things, some of the basic violations that you have been denied according to the so-called legal ramifications that all citizens are supposed to have of this particular so-called country. That is to say, when they first entered to your house, it's my understanding they had no legal warrant. Also, it's my understanding that they threatened you with a physical gun to your head. Can you talk to us about some of the legal technicalities of things that they have denied you? As well as you've been trying to get pre-information before you go into your court case, so you have information that you can plan a defense around. They have not given you, your son, nor your so-called legal representative, to access or pre-trial information that they have gathered. Can you speak a little bit about those aspects of your case?
I appreciate that. You ask a good question. When they entered my home with the pass key, I was home in a nightgown, as I shared earlier, and they had guns drawn, and the guns were in my face, and they ordered me outside immediately. And I asked them, who were they? Because they were in plain clothes. They were not in any uniforms at all. I could not and did not see the police written on any part of their clothing. They were in black. So I asked them, who were they? And they said, you have to step outside now. We want you outside right now. I said, I'm in my nightgown. They said, we don't care. You have to step outside right now. With the gun drawn on in my face, I stepped outside in my nightgown. They proceeded to come in, one behind the other. After they had used the passkey, they did not give me the key. They did not tell me who they were. They did not tell me what they wanted. So I followed their orders. I followed their directives. Keep in mind, I'm 60-plus years of age, and I'm on a variety of medication. And I tried very hard to comprehend what they were saying and what they were doing and what they wanted me to do. They did not give me a warrant upon their entry, and they did not explain to me what they were looking for, who sent them, and why. As far as the discovery, we still have not had any of the items that they confiscated returned to us. They still have our cell phones. They still have our computers. They still have all the cameras and cash and cards that they took. And we have not been able to have anyone tell us what the discovery shows. What is in the discovery? No one has been able to release that to us or share that information with us. So we are being blindsided. And my son is under tremendous stress trying to understand what it is that they want and what it is that they're looking for. Through conversations with neighbors have come to support and ask me, what is going on? What are they doing to you? Why did they do this? They told us to keep our kids away from you guys. I said, well, you have to make a choice. You know we've been living here before you moved in. You know that you've seen us interact. We've never had a problem with our neighbors. We've always tried to respect and support the children coming in contact with us. We're not a threat to anyone. But they are poisoning the minds of our community against us. And there's a target. Michael and I are not even on the road after dark because we don't feel safe. We don't feel safe coming in and out in the environment in which we're living in, because they have poisoned the minds of the community to make them think that we are some kind of enemy or some kind of threat, which we are definitely not. We're just people who are trying to live in America. We're trying to live our life in Colorado. We've never had a problem with law enforcement. But law enforcement finds it very easy and convenient to use other individuals to carry out their agenda. And there's a lot of malice here involved. There's more malice than logic involved with these charges. So we're struggling today. We're struggling for our freedom, and we're struggling for our lives, because Michael definitely needs help at this point in time in his life. He's a good young man who has lived a good life. He's never hurt anyone. And to use his computer against him at this point is devastating. And the gentleman who raised the question and pointed out the history, he's absolutely right, because I have been an advocate for years. I've come to the defense of others. I have really and truly risen to the occasion, and right now I have a case in federal court that is before the judge. And Michael was with me on March 22nd as we went to federal court in Denver, and I do believe that also put an additional target on his back, because he's been supportive of me, he's been respectful in my home, and the case number in federal court is 12CV03005 before CMA-MJW. And I think that these judges come to understand that I am a qualified person of color who have been denied an equal employment opportunity, and that's what the case is about. So they're saying in their behavior that, okay, if she thinks she's all that, if she thinks that she can use her education, her training, to work in an area that we don't think we want her to have, if we can't destroy her, we'll destroy her child. We'll destroy him. And I think that Michael is really and truly suffering because he's simply mine, because he's one of my blood, because this young man has hurt no one.
Well, you know, Ms. Fulton, the last point you made is sort of make me reflect back historically in terms of some of the things that people have always been terrorized by in terms of the fear of losing our kids based upon when the state wanted your private property or your land. A lot of times they would take our kids or threaten to take our kids in order to get your land and in order to keep our kids and keep our family together. We gave up our property. And this is very, very consistent with the historical legacy of the injustices in terms of how they have used our children against us in terms of trying to break our family. So that sounds very familiar. But one of the other things I'd like for you to express to our listening audience is if you can talk just really financially, given all of the things the job requires you to have to pay, how is it impacting your daily lives?
Well, yes, they're trying to financially drain us. They're hoping that we give in and give up or commit suicide. We're not in the market to commit suicide, and we're not going to kill each other, and we're not going to take our lives, because we respect the gift from God. We cannot take away our lives because God has given us the blessing of life. We are asking for help to sustain these financial obligations. In addition to court costs, we have been hit with the attorney fees. The attorney fees, $25,000 to prepare an adequate defense for Michael. The car is 20-plus years old. Of course, gas, repairs, insurance, and so forth has to keep the car on the road because we are not in an area that we are privileged to have mass transit. The court itself is approximately 40 to 50 miles from our location. We have to drive into the court, and we need a car on the road to do that. The bonds bailsman, well over $2,100, has to be paid. Ankle bracelet was placed on Michael at $400 a month, and there's no need for that because Michael was not a threat to the community. He was not a flight risk. We still don't understand why they found it necessary to put a GPS ankle bracelet on him other than to, as you said, recapture the idea of modern slavery. We want to know where he is 24/7. In addition to the ankle bracelet, the UAs. The UAs cost. Anytime they call for a random UA or Michael has to do a random UA, we have to pay for that as well. Telephone, he has to call into the court to report where he is on certain dates and time. They may have forgotten that they took our cell phones away, so Michael has to have access to a phone in order to call the court. So it just goes on and on and on. There's a list of financial obligations that have been placed on us, and the intent is to break us. But with God, there's always hope. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper.
And they also have limited your ability to communicate with the outside of the world, because
yes.
you cannot have a computer in your house because Michael lives with
yes.
you. And we know
exactly.
today computers are one of the major communicated tools that is used today to communicate with the rest of the world. So this
80%
is
of the jobs are applied online. 80% of the jobs are applied online, and they keep asking Michael, how's your job? How's your work? How's your application? And he said, how am I going to follow through on an application of employment when I don't have access to the tools that will equip me to get a response? So they're placing us under massive restrictions at the same time expecting us to respond to the guidelines of ordinary Americans. We cannot
you know, what
do
I,
that.
What I like
We're
to
being
right
undermined.
Now, Katie, what I would like to do right now, Katie, is I want you again to tell the people how they can support you. And we're going to ask you a couple of questions I think the audience need to know. And we're going to share with our audience for those who may not hear the entirety of this particular program, for you to go to our go to our archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/ and just type in Africa-on-the-move, and you can hear the remainder of the program, because we're going to go over a little bit, because there is information I think they need to have to properly understand this case, so we can let the audience know and the community know that it's important to give you the support that you need and give this young man a equal chance of living a normal, decent life. So right now, what I'm going to do, Katie, is for you to go ahead and tell the people again, how can they contact you? How can they send resources to help you? If you know of any lawyers as well, we would like to have some conscious black lawyers who may be willing to spend some time to aid Brother Michael in his case. So again, Katie, how can they reach you? How can they contact you? How can they support you?
We appreciate all of the prayers and all of the hope and support that we have received to date. We do appreciate that. We are asking those of you who would like to help Michael and defend him, help him build his defense, to please send your donations to Save Our Sons Defense Fund, INC, Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151. You can also go to any Wells Fargo bank and make a deposit, or you can call in and make a deposit into the account number 8482-527028. Again, the account number 8482-527028. If you make a deposit into the account, Michael will have access to it right away and be able to sustain a defense on his behalf. The attorney has threatened several times to withdraw because he needs additional money, and the money will be used not only for his time in representing Michael before the judge, but also the need to get a computer expert to show what they were looking for, why were they looking for it, and why is it that Douglas County, a county we've never lived in, was sent into our home. There's no doubt in my mind that if anything is on those computers, someone else sent it there, someone else manipulated to get it there, and they wanted to frame Michael. So this is how they're going after him. You can call me at 720-499-5146. This young man is worth your time, and he's worth your donations. And I'm sure that your future will depend on Michael's future, because Michael is in a position to give back to the community. His record and his history will show that he's not been a problem for anyone. He's just trying to live his life. And the charges they're bringing against him will restrict his livelihood tremendously. So he's fighting for his life and his freedom.
Okay, what we're going to do for our callers who are still on, we're going to just give you one more chance. If you have any kind of question, comment, to ask Ms. Fulton, and then we're going to close out the program. We're going to start with caller 6057. If you may have any additional comments or questions you'd like to ask Ms. Fulton, this is your time. Caller 6057.
Okay. My question is, How are you and Michael holding up at this time with the pressures that are being put upon you? And what is his understanding of why he's being harassed in this manner? How widespread is the support you've been receiving so far from the community?
Thank you very much. I believe that there's a target on Michael for whatever reason. I can surmise and I can, you know, guess this or that, but I don't know for sure. You would have to get into the hearts and heads of those individuals who are doing this to him to find out exactly why do they have a target on this young man. He's obviously a threat to someone. He lived on the campus in Boulder for 5-plus years and finished his education there. He's never hurt anyone. He never got in trouble with the professors nor with law enforcement officials. He complied with all the rules. So now he's growing into a person who's able to move forward with his life, and they are trying to undermine his future potential. The stress is surmountable in view of the fact that he's not only asked to pay for a GPS, which is really time-consuming and money-consuming, but he's asked also to do random UAs, which has nothing to do with substance. These charges that they're talking about from a computer is not related in any way to any substance at all. He's been dropping random UAs per the court's request for the last 5 months, and never have any of them been negative. This young man doesn't even smoke or drink. He doesn't have an interest in it. He couldn't major in the subjects he majored in with that kind of mentality. He had to have a clear head because he's often been the only black in his class. Although he was often the only black in his class, he never lost sight of the fact that he was still a black man. His identity came from his loved ones, not from society, because he didn't have a lot of people around him to really and truly encourage him. He had to keep encouraging himself. By the grace of God, he did not give in and he did not give up. So he's ready to move forward in a positive manner and make a valuable contribution. We have been holding up by supporting each other. And because we are a spiritually based family, we know that God is real. And we know that prayer does matter. And we know that there are individuals out there who are not stupid. Society understands that living in the digital era makes us susceptible to being manipulated, being fooled, being trapped, being framed, and being brought these charges on a computer in the digital era is not unusual. So this is all circumstantial evidence. They don't have any concrete physical evidence that Michael hurt anyone. Even when they tore my home apart, on the beds, in the cabinets, in the closets, they found nothing here that would be physical evidence to incriminate either one of us. So they're just angry. They're angry in Colorado because we've stayed too long in a state that they don't want us in. The blacks that they want in Colorado are the ones who can run the ball and help them win the games. If you cannot run the ball and help them win the games, they don't have any need for you if you have a brain. If you have a brain in your head, they're not going to let you use it. They're going to do whatever they can to break your spirit, break your mentality, and break you down. That's the pipeline to prison. We cannot afford to give up. We have to let others know our experience today because you can learn from our experience. You can grow stronger. This is happening in 2013, in the summer of 2013 in the state of Colorado. This is real. And Douglas County has a lot of rich white folks who are hoping that Michael goes to trial. If Michael goes to trial on this case, you're going to have the jury's going to be stacked with people who've already made up their mind that they want to see this young black male with a college education convicted of something based off his computer. So to them, that would be a victory. You don't have to look at the Trayvon Martin case to understand. Hate is there, and this is malice. This is malicious. So we're trying to save Michael's life. We're trying to give him a future. We're trying to give him some freedom.
Okay, caller, we move to that next caller. Caller 2872, do you have any questions or comments? Caller 2872, do you have any additional questions or comments for Ms. Fulton today?
Yes. Have you reached out to any of the local groups up there, the NAACP, the Urban League, if they exist up there in Colorado? And if you have, or black churches, and what has their response been?
Yes, I have reached out, and they are fully aware and familiar with our experience. And many of them have been very uncomfortable because it feels as though I'm living in a police state. They are afraid that if they reach out and respond to my need, that they too will be targeted and harassed or undermined. So they look at Michael and I as if we have two heads. I call the NAACP locally and nationally, and no response. No response. They didn't get back to me. So they find it much easier just to avoid me rather than step up and step forth and say, we're going to try and make a difference here. It hasn't happened. I reached out to two of the black lawyers here, and I said, can you help, please? This is what's going on here. They said, well, we need $25,000 up front. I said, can I pay you in parts or can you do this in parts? No, we need $25,000 up front. I said, well, if I had $25,000 up front, I'd be glad to give it to you. I'd be glad to give you at least a $5,000 retainer. I don't have that kind of resource available to me. But this is a young man who needs help. I have not received that kind of response, no. There are many in the community who are totally familiar that Michael deserves better, that Michael has a target, that he's being undermined, but they still don't have the courage to step forth and say, well, we're going to try and help. We are going to make a difference here. I don't know what they're afraid of.
Are those supporters, are they willing to at least be in the background and support financially? And if need be, somebody else can take the forefront and somebody else can take the fire for when, because in order to help and win this case, A, it has to be brought all the way into the light. So that means somebody's going to have to stand out there and take the blows from when the enemy fire back. The thing that we need to know is, is there a support system that's willing to work behind the lines? Because if there's a system that's willing to work behind the lines, we don't have a problem being out front and taking the point. We don't have a problem with that. We don't even have a problem.
I believe there are. I do believe there are people who are willing to take that support and be a support system. You have many individuals in Colorado, black individuals, who have themselves had very unpleasant experiences with law enforcement officials for various reasons, and they are totally familiar with the pain and anguish of racism. They're totally familiar. But they just need some additional support, as you eloquently pointed out.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Ms. Katie, I will definitely be giving you a call tomorrow, and
we can
talk about ways to make this happen.
I appreciate your help. I appreciate your eloquence and your time.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we're in the process of closing down the program. Katie, make your appeal to the African community and the OHS community on why they should support you and how they can support you for the last time.
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. I appreciate all of you who have given me hope, who have given me some prayers and some time. We ask you, if you can make a donation on Michael's behalf, on his defense, please send your donations to Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151, or you can go to any Wells Fargo bank and make a donation into the account number 8482-527028. This is a tax-exempt organization, and we will receive the funds.
The name of the account, please.
The name of the account is Save Our Sons Defense Fund. INC. Yes, if you send it to Save Our Sons Defense Fund, INC, we will get that, and that's the account name at Wells Fargo Bank, and that's also the name of the account that you want to send it to if you send it to the Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151. I do pray that all of you who are listening and all of you who care and can share, we will be able to get a response. I cannot afford to give up. I will not give up. I'm here not only for Michael, but for other sons as well. That's why we chose the name Save Our Sons Defense Fund, INC. You who have lived long enough to know something is wrong with the picture you're looking at right now. You may not have all the answers, but something is wrong.
And the email, where do you email with you directly, communicate with you directly, Katie? Your email?
Please, saveoursons2013 at gmail.com. saveoursons2013 at gmail.com, and I will be glad to respond to you.
Okay, in closing, to all of our listening audience and our supporters, we'd like to thank you for taking your precious time out to listen to this particular important program. It deals with this whole essence of protecting and saving our children. If we don't, who will? One of the greatest things we can do today in this particular case, I will advocate, is to share this story with the rest of our communities throughout the world. We need to expose what is going on. We recognize that this case is not atypical. This is a case that represents many conditions among the African youth throughout the world. But we know through organization, as Sister Katie stated, that they've created an organization called Save Our Sons. It's only not only to be limited just to her son, but it'll be an ongoing thing to help any individual who find themselves in a similar situation. And we truly know that not until we change the system, we will continue to have these cases. So I will advocate that, number one, please share this information with your network. Number two, if you got friends, relatives, churches, and businesses, if you can go to them Monday morning, ask them to donate $25 to $50 to send in. Get about 10 to 15 businesses and friends to do that. That is a bare minimum that we can do to at least to help it begin to try to raise the kind of resources so this young man can get adequate representation. And above all, we need to stay in touch and communicate with each other and work together. The two units is their strength. And on that note, again, we'd like to thank everybody. And to Ms. Fulton, we'd like to encourage you and your son, Michael, to hold on. Help is coming. Because I believe when you go to our people and you're honest with our people and you have done the right thing, they will support you. Until next time, you can always catch Africa on the Move every other Sunday at 6 p.m. And we thank you for listening to Africa on the Move. Until next time, let's struggle to go forward ever and backward never. Forward ever, backwards never. Everyone have a good day. Forward.